No, I thought it was much further, like, once
I mean, you bought it before the
right there.
Yes, right here.
Yeah, boy, they've been standing over there. Really?
He's going to get back. Some dirt on top.
Two of them to put them on the
wall. Really?
When he was at hot school.
Right.
You had camera footage of it or not?
One.
But he evaporated paper from the beginning. I mean, hey.
Never mind, it was in the picture.
Oh, okay.
No, didn't. With all of this, what's going on with that shit, the economy is going to get worse.
Yeah.
And guess what? Lisa, yeah. I was going to get harder. And for sympathy, they're going to just let people go instead of doing all the paperwork.
Never.
They got to get it out. They got to go
to old tanks and whatever. I remember hearing about it at some LMA conferences that they're, it's a process. And,
but it has to go through.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Here, yeah.
Right.
Well, it is.
They're handling it. It's their project. They're doing it.
Yeah. Look right there.
Don't find them.
Very fast.
It stops on both sides of it.
Yeah. And then somebody told me two people got shot in the head.
Nothing you can do?
Yeah, to me, yeah. To me, yeah. Man, whoever done the shooting, you're serious.
I know you too, man. Nah, I'm being messy.
We all do.
I do.
You looked good last night.
Yeah. I knew he was sick, but I thought he was doing better than
that. No, but last night you should have known that he was doing his best. I knew.
You know?
Just delayed and found.
It's crazy how that happens.
Because it's just not getting to the point where I should gave you the phone. But we good. They talking about two people got shot. You can hear all the things.
Right. Take it out. Take out the.
That's all.
Right. See, and you're gonna miss somebody who's.
Alright.
That the police station grand opening is open to the public. Because that should be before our next meeting. We're close.
Yeah, it's on. It's on. Yeah. Yeah, I did it. You got a hose there. Yeah. It's working. Yeah, it's still working. It's working right now. They got to come. Yeah. I think they're off. I think we took them off. Yeah, let's go. Let's go over there.
Vanessa. Y'all have C-Day coming up?
We have everything.
Okay, 6 o'clock. Yep.
This Saturday, FFA has something.
Mm-hmm. 6. Thank you. It's okay.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Antoine, can you lead us in a prayer? And I'd like everybody to keep the Pope, although he probably doesn't need our prayers, but keep him in our prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so we have a few announcements. So each Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the evening is the McAdee Show over at Pelican Park, and everybody's invited, so y'all please go over. I think this week Super One is cooking, so, and I think Travis Mott is playing, so I think it should be a good turnout. National Day of Prayer is May the 1st. I think the doors open at 11 o'clock. They will serve lunch. That's going to be at the community center. Everyone's welcome. May 15th is going to be the dedication at the Carroll Crow Police Department, 10 o'clock in the morning, and of course everyone is welcome. This Friday we are doing the dedication for the sign for Kevin Falk. So if you are familiar with the former Ranch Outlet, it'll be right there in the front, 10 o'clock Friday morning. Carroll Crow High football has their C day. Is it just football or is it all the sports? Or football, cheerleaders, and dazzlers, and that's going to be on May the 17th. This Saturday, the FFA has their spring sale, so they'll have plants and all kinds of good stuff. That was a good event last year. And then graduation is May the 19th at the Cajun Dome for Carroll Crow High. Okay, so guests, we have Mr. Jim Kraft here, Executive Director for the Louisiana Council on Law Enforcement. You want to join us?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. The Commission on Law Enforcement, based in Baton Rouge, was responsible for converting every law enforcement agency in the state to a new crime reporting system that was nationwide. So every law enforcement agency in the United States had to convert to this new system. And it's no small feat because of the number of agencies throughout the country. We've been working on this project for probably 6 years now. And it's a drawn-out project because you have to start submitting data under the new system. And in order to get certified in this new system by the FBI, your data has to be 90% or higher. And so Karen Crow undertook this new system, and I think you had to get a new reporting system. Is that right? Yeah. So some agencies had to get new reporting systems, records management systems, because it really is more in-depth crime reporting, which is good for your citizens and your council members and people in your community. And so tonight, I'm pleased to announce that the Carroll Crow Police Department has officially received its LIBOR certification for the state of Louisiana. This certification represents a significant achievement in our ongoing commitment to transparency, accountability, and excellence in law enforcement reporting. But by becoming LIBOR certified, the department now meets the rigorous standards set by the FBI for incident-based reporting, ensuring that all crime data is accurately collected, reported, and maintained in compliance with both state and federal guidelines. This milestone not only enhances the department's operational effectiveness, but it strengthens public trust by promoting data integrity and supporting crime analysis. Grant eligibility, and informed decision making. And I won't mislead you. A number of agencies converted to this system because they were told if you don't, you won't be able to get a federal grant. So, we extend our sincere gratitude to the entire team at Cairn Crow PD who worked diligently to meet the certification requirements, and thank the council for your continued support of public safety initiatives. And I'll just read off some of their scores on the data that they submitted, because every time, each month that they submitted crime data, it had to be 90% or higher correct, or you weren't considered qualified, because you had to do at least 9 months of data before you could get certified. So they were at 98%, 96%, 98%, 98%, 100%, 100%, 98%, 93%, 98%, 94%, 90%, 95%, 100 again and again, and 97%. So based on that, they were awarded LIBOR certification, and I'd like to present this certificate to Chief Anderson.
Herb, is she going to take a picture of him?
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Hold on, G.
Thank
you. Hold on, let me take a look. I'll come around like that.
We're going to stand up. Hope you're going to stand up. Yeah. I guess we're doing this.
That's what we're doing.
Thank you. Chief, I think none of us are surprised to hear those high scores.
Mayor, I just wanted to, it's not me, it's like Chief Kraft said, it's the team that we have at our police department, our IT people, our detectives, who spent many, many hours on working on this certification. So all the thanks really goes to them. So I applaud them. Thank you.
Congratulations. Great. All righty, Mr. Charles Hebert, you brought us a good crew today.
Thank you all very much. Charles Hebert, LSU Ag Center, 4-H Youth Development. As many of you know, we are part of the Cooperative Extension Service that has educational outreach in the three areas of ag and natural resource, nutrition and community health, and 4-H. So we deliver research-based educational programs to the community. Tonight we are here to recognize 4-H club members that have been either placed first in a parish contest or been to a regional or state event. I do want to recognize and want to recognize Cairn Crow Middle School. We filmed a video, a national video was filmed here or partially filmed here in Cairn Crow last week. I want to thank the administration of Cairn Crow Middle, the coaches, resource officers, and the students that are very involved in our Health Rocks program. So hopefully within a month we will launch that national marketing video that Karen Crow will be a part of that will go out nationally. So I want to recognize Nicole Gerard, my coworker, that will recognize the students from Karen Crow that have either placed first or been at a regional or state event.
Y'all have the FFA students here also.
Because they're part of 4-H, too.
Yep.
So from Karen Crow Bob Lilly, we have Brielle Domingue. If y'all come up when your name is called to the front. From Karen Crow Catholic, we have Madeline Corville, Caroline Garcia, Adelaide Stickney. Y'all can stand
all
up. From Karen Crow High, we have, as you recognize, their FFA and 4-H show team, Max Champagne, Jude Ducey, Bethany Fall, Morgan Hunter, Alyssa Matthews, and Gavin Senegal and Keely Thibodeau. That's everybody joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm a big supporter of the 4-H and the FFA. I was a past victim of that entire organization, and I don't know, Charles still can't get rid of me, so I think it's a great program, and it prepares your children. My mama always used to say, because we took care of our show animals, that she knew that we would feed our children one day. So that was my mama's idea. So these are next. You're going to... So I'll let the audience clear out, and then if anybody else is looking for a spot to sit, there's plenty of seats now. Okay, we have a couple of proclamations. Yep.
So the first one is for the Lafayette Parish School System District Librarian of the Year, Ms. Trista Batto. Before I read the proclamation, Ms. Batto was one of my teachers, and I won't tell my age, so I won't tell her age, but she taught me many moons ago and had great experiences, so I'm not surprised, but I'm honored to be able to read this for her. So whereas we are beyond proud to announce that Mrs. Trista Batto has been selected as the LPSS District Librarian of the Year, and whereas Mrs. Batto has been a dedicated member of the Karen Crow High School family for 9 years, serving both as our librarian and technology coach. Before joining Karen Crow High School, she taught 5th and 6th grade ELA at Karen Crow Middle and has worked at St. Leo Catholic School. Her passion for education led her to LSU, where she earned her master's in library science, later serving as a librarian at St. Leo before returning to Karen Crow High School. And whereas, in addition to her role as librarian, Mrs. Batto leads the library club and the cafe, community and family engagement, constantly coming up with creative and fun ways to engage our students. Whether it's helping with school activities or lending a hand to any barren need, Mrs. Batto is always there with a smile and a solution. Her generosity and dedication to our school are truly unmatched. And whereas, a lifelong resident of Karen Crow, Mrs. Batto has spent 29 years of her marriage here with her family. Outside of school, she enjoys reading, of course, playing tennis, and staying active with fly fit classes, yoga, and Pilates. And whereas, please join us in celebrating her well-deserved recognition as the Lafayette Parish School System District Librarian of the Year. Now, therefore, I, Charlotte S. Clavier, Mayor of the City of Karen Crow, Louisiana, do hereby proclaim that Trista Batto be recognized and congratulated for going above and beyond. And be it further resolved that all are called upon to pay tribute to Trista Batto for her excellence and prestige it has brought to our city and citizens. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the official seal of the City of Karen Crow, Louisiana, to be affixed at Karen Crow City Hall on April 21st, 2025.
Thank you.
got to take pictures.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
You know, we love you.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Okay, now we have another one.
Do you want to read it?
All right. Another very special proclamation. So this is for Dakota Mesh accomplishments during her high school career. For those who don't know, this is Coco. This is Councilwoman Caprito's daughter, so it's an honor to be able to read this one as well. Whereas Dakota Mesh is graduating from David Thibodeau Magnet Academy May 2025 at the Biomed Pathway with a 3.5 GPA. And whereas Dakota is a recipient of the DTSMA Outstanding Citizenship Award, this award recognizes a student who displayed all-around outstanding citizenship capabilities in attendance, discipline, academics, attitude, and personality. And whereas she completed an internship of 160 hours her senior year at J.W. Falk in a kindergarten classroom. Her love and compassion for children and education were evident during this internship and solidified her decision to become an educator. And whereas Dakota is a member of Educators Rising Club, a club that inspires rising educators to become community leaders and advocates for high-quality education. During the 2023-2024 school year, she was a champion at the Educators Rising Conference held at Northwestern University, where she and a partner constructed and presented an interactive board for pre-K to third grade. She also competed and placed 10th with the same project in Washington, D.C., the summer of 2024. Dakota has recently competed at ULL for Educators Rising State Conference this school year and placed. She will be heading to Nationals in Orlando this summer. And whereas January 2025, Dakota was awarded Student of the Month, and whereas Dakota initiated a program at David Thibodeau alongside Educators Rising Club called No Kids, Go Cold. The club advertised, set up drop-off locations, and collected school-appropriate jackets and sweaters within DTSMA. Once all garments were collected, they hand-delivered them to elementary schools within Lafayette Parish. And whereas Dakota has demonstrated dedication to service by participating in 2 Mexico mission trips, where she contributed her time and efforts to assist those in need with compassion and care with a servant heart. And whereas we proudly say Dakota was crowned the 2024 Sable Seasoning Fest Teen Miss Queen, where she has served her community by dedicating her time and energy to promoting the Sable Seasoning Fest and the City of Carecrow with pride. And whereas during her high school career, Dakota accumulated over 180 community service hours, 90% of which were completed within the city limits of Carecrow. These volunteer and community service hours will award her a community service diploma endorsement through the Louisiana Department of Education. Above all, these community service hours have contributed to the betterment of the city that she so dearly loves and has truly shown her spirit of generosity. And whereas Dakota aspires to be an elementary educator and was recently accepted into the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, and whereas during her free time she loves shopping and hanging out with friends. And whereas Dakota is all around a loving, caring, and kind person who always inspires others to be the best versions of themselves. She has strong Christian values, is courteous and thoughtful, and whereas the City of Carecrow would like to congratulate Dakota on all of her accomplishments. Now, therefore, I, Charlotte S. Clavier, Mayor of the City of Carecrow, Louisiana, do hereby proclaim that Dakota Mesh be recognized and congratulated for going above and beyond. Be it further resolved that all are called upon to pay tribute to Dakota Mesh for her excellence and prestige it has brought to our city and citizens. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the official seal of the City of Carecrow, Louisiana, to be affixed at Carecrow City Hall on April 21st, 2025.
Yay,
Coco! Looking at her, looking at
her. We're so proud. All
Alrighty. So the next thing we have is the minutes of the March 17th regular meeting.
As presented, Mayor.
I'll second.
A motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Financial reports?
I move to accept as presented.
Second.
That's okay. Yeah.
I think so. So the hesitation is, it's kind of the same issue. The numbers are accurate, and I verified again with Ms. Lisa today. I ran kind of my own checks against the budgeted numbers. All the numbers kind of in big form seem appropriate. So the only thing we're really waiting for is the budget to be inputted, but the numbers are accurate, and so I do think it would be appropriate to pass it.
Do we have an ETA for when we're going to get the completed type? You know? Okay.
Finish the auditor's list.
Gotcha. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Now I'd like to recognize our department heads. Buster, you first.
Good evening, yo.
Good evening.
This last month we had in water normal operation problems, leaks, stuff like that. We did accomplish two things. We drained the Eloise water tower, cleaned it, inspected the inside, back up and running. And today we did the last tie-in for the water project, cutting cap. So from the water project, there's going to be a bunch of small items left over to do. And that's going to probably drag on for a couple of months. Sidewalk projects, you can see they're still rolling. It's making progress. So water projects are doing decent. Going to the sewer, lift station on Rue Bassin. They did pour concrete last week. They still have three more pours to do. So say they're going to make another pour this week. I'm not holding my breath. Hopefully we can get done soon. As soon as they finish the concrete, they can do the piping, bring in the electrical, communication. We can do a pump startup, hopefully.
What percentage do you think they're done? 25, 50, 75?
I think we're at 80.
We're about 80-some percent. Most of the work is done. It's just concrete work before you can put the top to finish everything else. So we're about 80% done. It's just sitting there, though. So that part's good for the most part. Sewer plant, we're making progress. I'm sure y'all saw we got a pre-bid coming out and a pre-construction in June.
When is the pre-bid?
Pre-construction is going to be in June. I don't have the date with me.
I wrote it in my phone.
I think it's the 10th or 8th or something.
Okay. Did y'all put it out for bid? Do you know?
It's going to go out in bid in May, next month.
So pre-bid is June the 12th at 10 o'clock here.
Yep.
So with the sewer progress.
Any questions?
I have one. I know we have a contract with the people who service the water towers. This is what made me think of it. When are we due to have this one downtown washed?
We don't have it in the contract to wash outside. Never was. I've been trying to get it in. We just never had made it to get it in.
But it's that company who normally comes and does it? Or it could be anybody?
No, it has to be. It's them.
It's them.
Yeah, you can't get anybody to go up there.
But that's not part of the contract.
It's not part of the contract. We can renegotiate it because I like to have both of them in the contract to wash the inside and out.
Right.
Because it is turning green and black and mildewing, but that's just our weather down here. But I think it'd be something we should look into.
Yeah, because, I mean, the paint job's so nice, I just hate to see it.
Correct.
You know,
yeah,
it's
just
happens, I'm sure.
South Louisiana.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
You have a question about brown water?
Thank you.
I asked him to bring up the brown water because we got a few calls, but I want you to explain what's going on and why we're getting it. And I know it's connections, but you explain it better than I can explain.
So what's happening right now, we've been killing the O-line, putting a new line to the O-line. So we've been cutting and capping, inserting valves, putting inserter valves to stop the water from the O-line going into the new line, and we're killing all everything. So it has some interruptions in the system. So as soon as we finish all this, I will call out a flush for the whole system because we ain't flushed the system since we started the contract because half the valves in town will close.
Right. And Ms. Lisa said that it'll go out on the next bill. Just as a reminder, check your water before you wash your nice white towels and all those things.
Today was the last cutting cap, so it should settle down.
It should settle down.
Contractors out. We'll schedule a flush. It'll interrupt the whole city, but hopefully it cleans 90% of it out. Now, we still have cast iron lines in town, though.
Right, which is phase one that we haven't started.
Correct.
Phase one, we completed. Phase two is complete. is the phase 3 and 4 that's coming up.
Yeah, but they call them different numbers. And they got different numbers. It's all messed up. But
yeah, we did 2 before 1.
Right. Yeah, right.
So
1A and 1B now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have.
And they, I don't think they know how to do ABCs or numbers.
They didn't learn them in order. They're doing number 27 first.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Is Seth here? No.
Well, Mayor, Seth sent a little synopsis he had today.
Okay.
Doing that gas tap in the park.
Okay.
And they're still trying to finish that. Prejean relocation. You know, they're relocating the line at Prejean. Contractor is procuring materials, plan to mobilize the end of this week and start construction the first part of next week. The citywide gas replacement. Final plans be completed in April, Andy?
Yeah, the end of this month.
End of this month. And then we're going to see what the final cost would be on that project. So that's kind of a little quick synopsis that he sent.
Okay.
That he's still in the park.
Oh, yeah, they're still working.
Trying to do that tap.
Miss Lisa, I know you got a long list.
No, I actually forgot to do it. But we're working with the auditors daily, hoping to get them what they need. And we have many public records requests, which we're working on right now, and our normal bookkeeping functions and accounting.
Already, Purvis, you have a list?
We have the lights. I think they started to get ready to work on the lights at the interchange. We finally got a contractor that's going to take care of those things.
For the in-state?
For 49. We had some of the ramp lights were down. They've been on the ground for a while. And, basically, I forgot how many clusters are out that they're gonna change. So we made contact, EP Bro. Those guys are gonna come in and take care of that, and they're finally getting there. And, just day-to-day operations, I think that's the biggest thing. We had a pretty good household hazardous day and shredded day. So we had that and those things. So we just keep chugging along and keep doing the work.
Very good. All right. Thank you. Mike, I think you're the one doing park. You and Michelle are here, so I'm not sure who's doing it.
Who's doing it?
Y'all both come on up. Oh, y'all both come up. Y'all both got a list.
We busy. All right. So right now, Monday through Friday, we are in full swing at Pelican Park between the games and practices. Karen Crow Park is also being utilized 7 days a week, not only for practices, but we're also renting out fields as well. We had 2 big tournaments within the last 30 days at Pelican. MACRD started as April 1st. We're going into the fourth week. That's doing really well. We've had several rentals at the Karen Crow Park Pavilion, generating money.
All
right. Let's see. At Pelican, they poured half the concrete. So where the concession stand, they're working on it. They did finish half. They're looking to finish in about 2 weeks. We have some big events coming up, so they're kind of working with us to get those big events happening. The community center, we had 5 nice events over there. And we're starting this week some improvements to the concession stand, bathrooms, and field maintenance at Karen Crow Park, planting some grass, et cetera. And the umpire shed at Pelican Park, that is where we'll have all our umpires be able to put equipment and so forth, 95% complete. Troy should have it finished probably Wednesday. So it's all good things.
All right. So when you say for the concession stand, and this might be more of a question for you, but for the concession stands at Pelican Park. I'm talking about Pelican Park, the building.
The big building.
Mm-hmm. When you said almost complete with just the concrete, not the actual
concrete
structure.
No. They're running into, there are 2 items that they're running into problems acquiring that they need for the park. That's where our holdup is going to be. But other than that, everything seems to be moving along. The roof, I think, is the next thing that needs to be put on, and then they can start inside.
And so the roof and the awnings are all one, or it's separate?
I think they're 2 separate pieces. I think they're engineered separate because they're different pitches.
Okay.
If I remember right, like part of it is like this, and then part is more flatter. I mean, it has an incline, but it's a different angle.
But do we think they're going to do them at the same time, or we don't know?
I think they're going to do the main one first and then come in with the other, is what I understood from the conversation with the girl that I talked to, Madeline.
They did say they were going to finish the roof, and once they get the roof complete, they're going inside to hang sheetrock and so forth inside before they would work on the other elements.
Okay.
Good. That helps.
I knew there was something. I just couldn't remember.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mike? Thank you.
Okay, so at the indoor, Mondays and Tuesdays is our adult leagues. We have 160 players. We play 3-hour time slots on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, on Mondays and Tuesdays. Wednesday we have flag football, have 6 teams, 110 players. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're still doing the homeschool PE. Classes have slowed down a little bit because the weather's been nicer, so the kids are going outside. But Tuesday we usually have 12, and on Thursday we usually have about 20. Thursday night, of course, we still do pickup soccer, which is averaging 50 players. They come and pay their $8 fee, and they play for about 3 hours or till they get tired. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's longer. But Friday nights are rentals and birthday parties. Saturdays are rentals and birthday parties, and Sundays are rentals. We have moved some parties on Sunday, and plus we do our pickup night on Sunday as well. For the last month, we had 19 parties with the average, 19 parties. We had 700 guests in those 19 parties. And then we've had 20 rentals, and we've averaged about 450 guests playing in the rentals. Started doing the black fence on the front of the tennis courts today. They painted the pipe and everything else like that, so that'll be done this week. And then for my summer camp, as of today, we have 145 campers signed up. But
is that full? Are you full or not yet?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, when I get to about 210, it's about my busting at the seams limit. Mm-hmm. But and that's it for us.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much, Chief.
My report's in your packet. If you have any questions, Mayor, there's just a couple of things that I did want to mention. So you'll see in there for calls for service. That's on the. Third page, you'll see that from March of 24 to March of 25, same time frame, our calls for service have increased 120%. On a good note, our traffic citations are down by 53%. So that's a good thing.
So what's the driver of so many more calls over the course of 1 year?
Well, I wish I had an exact science for that, but we can, you know, just more people moving into the city. Don't know. People are aggravated more.
Yeah.
Well, going to increase our calls for service.
Sure. You know, one thing that to me jumps off the page is juvenile misdemeanor cases, 257% increase.
And that is probably going to increase as we enter into the summer. So that is why we are starting our summer programs. We'll have 2 summer programs going on with young adults this summer. And, we're hoping that parents, bring their kids and come out and see what we're doing with the children. It's not only just a summer program. It's a mentorship. It's teaching them life skills, and there's so much more than walking around a neighborhood carrying a weapon. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really want to teach them. It's those split-second decisions that are ruining these kids. And when I say kids, I'm talking from 8 to 16 years of age. You know, they're running their lives in a split-second decision because they don't know how to make those better choices. So that's what we're really going to be hitting home on this summer to see if we can try to turn some of them around and hopefully get them on the right track.
So. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief?
Besides what's on my council report, unfortunately we discovered on March 31st the leaky roof again. So it is leaking again. Mr. Lynn knows about it. Contractor knows about it. They'll be out to oversee it again.
Seth, did Seth ever go visit? No, we haven't got there yet.
I told Seth, you know, I know he's got a lot, like right now he's busy, but he will take, put an eye on it, being he's experienced, and that is to see what they're doing and what the issue is and how they're preparing it. So I get like a guy who's not a contractor or not the person who put the roof on to kind of tell me, look, you need to start asking for this and this and this. And hopefully after this next repair, I can have a meeting with Descant, and we can see moving forward what we're going to do, because whatever they're doing, this is like the fourth or fifth time, it's not working. Every time we get a heavy rain or a little slightly wind-driven, same spot. So seeing my experience with metal roofs with Lafayette Fire, the training center has been down for almost a year. The amount of damage is like up to $1.5 million with new HVAC, insulation, everything. It took 14, 15 years, but that's the problem. It's never was addressed.
Yeah.
So hoping to get it fixed right. We just don't know what is actually leaking. I think they're just patching, maybe using Flex Seal. I don't know. But the only good thing, the really good time that our guys had was Easter weekend. I was out of town at the time. I gave them three weeks I was going to be there, and it didn't work for them. I said, well, I'm not that upset. But they took the torch, and it was John and Crystal Hebert's daughter, who was in the Easter Bunny outfit all day long. She did a fantastic job. We had a lot of merchandise donated to us from Five Below, and we handed it out to all the kids. We hit as many neighborhoods as we could, and we'll try to do more next year. We're learning from it. It's our first time doing it. It was rough to stop from house to house, so I think we may design a meeting spot at each neighborhood and say, look, you know, meet here at this time or what, and then instead of stopping, it took a very long time, I think from 9 to almost 4 o'clock, you know, so they give up their whole Saturday to do that, but I think it was worth it. They were loving it. The next day they went to, I said, you're tired, because the next day the Assumption Church had their fun day, and they said, we're going, so they went and gave an hour and gave some more stuff out there, so I want to commend everyone who took their Saturday and weekend to make the kids happy and excited for the Easter weekend.
That's great.
So that's about it. Any questions?
Thank you. All right. So now we have a couple of resolutions. Resolution 2020. Yes, sir.
Andy.
Oh, I forgot. I got to call up Andy. Come up, Andy. No. Let's do it. You come up. I was skipping around. That's why I don't wear my glasses and I mess up.
I got a question about the T-Mile Road with the sidewalks.
Okay.
I see you got a lot of 95% in there, kind of. Can you break that down?
Yeah, well, it's DOT's submittal stages, right? So really the next thing we need to do, we've already had the plan in hand. We made their final comments. We're going to submit one more time. They should give us the thumbs up, presuming there's no more comments, and then they'll give us the notice to start advertising. So we've got one more submittal is really what it boils down to, yeah.
Right.
Any other questions about any of the other items on the list?
I would like for you to go over the sewer lift station Traka.
The sewer lift station, about why it's not being worked on or what's taking so long?
Yeah, what's taking so long?
Buster was saying, from what I understand, that they've made the concrete pour. I think they're making another one Wednesday. It took a lot of back and forth with the submittals of how the rebar was going to be tied and how they planned on building up the actual top of the lift station. But from what I understand, all of those submittals have been approved. They're good to put in their final effort to finish pouring the top. Why it's taking this long is anyone's guess. You know, I think he's the contractor's a little bit spread thin across other jobs and is trying to squeeze up enough time to finish up the project. But as you can see, there are quite a few days until liquidated damages.
Yeah. So the only other question I have is, because my understanding is we had to pay another bill. We got an email on their behalf. It sounds like. Do we have enough held back to cover liquidated damages and what we have paid them? I know they still have their bonding company, but...
Yeah. You're talking about the pumps?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yes, paying for the pumps.
There's enough money, assuming they do the rest of the work, there's enough money in the contract to withhold all of their obligations to you. Plus, you give them whatever remaining portion they have.
Liquidated damages, bills we paid, whatever. We have enough left.
Yeah, there's enough work to be performed to offset that cost, yes. You will owe them more than they owe you, so you can withhold whatever they owe you in the litany of reasons why they owe the city money. But okay, any more questions about those? Okay, I just want, while I'm up here, I want to touch on the two turning lanes. I'm going to caveat this update with the design engineer has been in Hawaii on his honeymoon, so he's been out for a little while. So the Irish Street turn lane, we intend to have a public meeting. As part of that construction, we're going to have to shut down the eastbound lane for, I'm going to say, a couple to a few weeks. We're still working with DOTD on getting traffic control plans approved, but in the meantime, we're going to have to detour around to, was it Gaillé, and then come back down Préjean?
Cormier.
Is it Cormier? Cormier. What's the word I'm thinking? The one that starts with a G.
Gendarme? That's
true. No, Préjean turns south Cormier. To Gourmet. Gourmet. Thank you.
Gourmet.
Thank you. That was the one on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, it's going to loop around coming up Préjean to the light at University as the detour. So we want to have a public meeting, make sure everyone is aware, all the residents can come in and see what the plan is and voice any questions or concerns they may have. With that said, we're looking at May 7th at 6 p.m. That's 2 weeks from this coming Wednesday. We will get with the city to blast it out on Facebook and all of their social media and put it on the website just to make as many people aware as possible. I'm saying tentative because I don't want, you know, Nick to get back into town and, you know, he needs to be at that meeting, but I'm fairly certain with this far, in advance notice, we can work with our schedules to get there. We just don't want DOTD the next day to issue comments on traffic control plans and us not have those before we meet with the public. So when he gets back into town, we're going to coordinate with DOTD to get their comments back or any remaining comments back. And we want to have all that in hand during the public meeting. So we may push a week or two.
So you will be able to turn from during construction.
Yeah.
You will be able to turn from University westbound onto Ira.
It's my understanding, yes. We're only closing one lane.
But you won't be able to come out. And so, there's nowhere to close Ira. There's not a cross street.
Right.
So you have to go all the way around.
Yes.
You know that road, I think it's Gale, the gravel road, is under construction.
It's under construction right now.
So that's part of this review. And
we're going to need to put some maps out there for everybody to see what's going on. But
why is that the school that would be a lot better?
Well, that's the goal.
And I get
Woodrow. Gale.
Gale.
G-A-Y-L-E.
And again, I might be putting the cart in front of the horse. Maybe this is what the meeting is for, but can you not alternate traffic? I mean, it's a short section.
You can, but it's at night, right? So they're going to have to close the lane and actually do construction adjacent to the travel lane. So instead of having them restripe it and squeeze it into either a temporary lane on the north side, and this is all stuff that can be talked out and we can decide at this meeting or... but instead of having to restripe everything, it'd be safer, we think, to shut down that travel for the time that the road's under construction. Because they're going to have to cut into that existing lane in order to put the base in and be able to build back up the section that's going to be south of the existing.
This is for the right turn lane, which will be on the south side of Ira.
How long will construction last?
That's all the stuff that we're working out now. Yeah. I'm going to say to the closure, I would imagine a couple of weeks. But there's a lot of work that they can do on the drainage and the stuff adjacent to it before they actually have to close the road to saw cut, remove what's there, and then come back and put in new base and surfacing.
Andy, I ask that when we do meet with DOTD, that we ask if we're going to send people east on Préjean Road back to University, we need to look at that light phase there because it's not going to be able to handle the volume of traffic for people coming off of Préjean onto University the way it is now. So they'll have to...
And I'm sure y'all run the numbers, but in my head it's way quicker, and I guess there's a gravel road involved potentially, but to me it's much quicker to go down Kankton to Joly.
Yeah, Cormier's gravel. That's why we went south. It's because it's not a gravel road.
Mm-hmm.
But it is quicker to go that way, yeah.
Right, the post road.
Yeah,
you get to post road and you can go either way.
We looked at both. And now, again, that's this meeting we can come up with. No, you would rather have a gravel road than...
Well, and you're going to have an alternative, but people can go where they want.
Gale's gravel. Gravel, either way you go, you're on gravel.
It's not blacktop either.
Okay. It's going to be blacktop, but it's not blacktop yet. Right. Or at least it wasn't a week ago.
It's not as gravel. It's there
yeah. She was there this morning. How was a week ago?
So those are the things we're going to get in ready for the meeting whenever we would have it on the, potentially May 7th. So just wanted to make you guys aware on that. It's coming up, and there will be some detour and disruptions to traffic. And then the next turning lane is the one at Walk-Ons. You know, when the initial estimate was given to you guys to participate in funding the turn lane, there was no intent to upsize the drain pipe underneath the driveway. When we ran our numbers of the drainage area, it looks like that pipe needs to be upsized. So basically replace that single culvert with two culverts and then pipe in the entire length of the turn lane with the twin culverts. That increases the cost to closer to $400 than $200. We were working with the design engineer who originally came up with the cost estimate just to ensure that our numbers are the same thing that they would see. I don't want them to have looked at a drain culvert that's taking what we think is taking the water underneath this driveway and going somewhere else with it. That we're just not seeing. We did look at Old Dominion's drainage analysis just north of there. And that's the one that's the property, right? It's not FedEx. It is Old Dominion. They had a very, very similar drainage area to what we're finding, which is why they have twin 24s, I think, underneath their culvert and underneath their driveway. So we want to, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's before we tell you that it's going to be 400. There's a good chance that it's going to double.
But that's a fairly new project.
Yes.
What has changed? Because we looked at their drainage analysis and approved it.
We looked at their drainage analysis, not their driveway sizing. That was a DOTD permit. So that goes through DOTD. We don't look at the sizing of the driveway in their right-of-way.
DOTD liked it.
Mm-hmm. Apparently. It made it through the process.
Is this all, I mean, how old is it? 3 years, maybe? Two?
Two or three.
It was there before.
Not long.
I'm trying to save us a dollar here, and I find it hard to believe that in 4 years, the numbers have changed so much that we have to double the size of the...
That's why I'm trying, before I tell you that their numbers are wrong, we're trying to work through to make sure that our numbers are not wrong.
Your numbers are wrong.
I do too, to be quite honest with you, because it's going to increase the price tag of that a little bit more. So I just want to make you guys aware that there's a chance that it's going to double in cost. So those are my two updates. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Two good, not good ones. You know, you could come with better stuff. I think we should get a prize if you're going to do this, you know. Next month, we're going to work on that. City Hall Annex, I don't know if anybody's had a chance to go over there and pay your water bill yet, but the girls are really, really happy with space. So they're very, very happy about it. We still have some work still left to do, but it's coming along pretty good. Once we're all done, then we'll have kind of an open house or something for that. All right, next we have resolutions. Resolution 2025-22, a resolution by the Carrancore City Council accepting the Municipal Water Pollution Prevention Audit Report and setting actions to maintain permit requirements, new post-road sewer plant in planning phase.
So move, Mayor.
I'm going to second, but I have a question. So okay. On the actual resolution, under Section 2, it says for year 2024. Is that how they do it, or is it for... Because to me, the permit should be for 2025.
No, it's always a year behind.
It's a year behind. All right. I'll second if Alfred didn't.
I have one new question, too. You personally get these reports?
Yes,
okay.
We go back and I personally fill them out.
Okay. That's
what... So it's for the DEQ when it comes to inspect. You got to present that to them. So it's for a year behind. You always do a year behind.
Okay.
And this one has zero on it, so it doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Resolution 2025-23, a resolution to adopt a citizen participation plan.
Move and to accept.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All in, oh, yes,
ma'am. Explain again what is this for?
So this is, we want to apply for some money,
LCDBG.
LCDBG. We want to apply. Miss Phyllis is here. I have a hard time saying all those letters. I mess them up. But anyway, in order to apply for that, we have to have a citizen participation plan. So that's what this plan is, to adopt that so we can apply for those grants. Okay. Did I explain that correctly, Ms. Phyllis? Okay. So, do I have a motion?
I made a motion.
You have a motion. Do I have a second? Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Resolution 2025-24, a resolution of the Camp Crystal City Council amending the 2024-25 Capital Outlay Fund Budget Fund Year for $425,000 for NCMC Project H. 013517 St. Peter North Church Street Sidewalks.
Can we discuss Ward before? Do we need a motion first?
We need a motion a second, and then we can discuss it.
Okay. I'm going to make the preliminary motion.
Okay.
And I'll second.
All right. Okay. Then I have a few things. And I'm
okay.
I don't think I'll rescind my motion, but we'll see.
Okay.
Andy.
Yep.
So there's two parts of this, both of which make me very nervous. The first one is, we spoke on the phone this morning, and you did a great job explaining it to me, but I'm slow, or something's not adding up in my mind. Tell me one more time how the numbers come together. What is increasing, what is decreasing, how does it wash out?
Okay, so when I came and gave you guys the notification that we're going to be increasing some change order, having some change orders to increase the construction cost, and in addition to that, we had to fix the actual budget that got approved back in November. Well, as we got closer to the end of construction, there's several items that we're going to underrun. When I first came, we weren't expecting to underrun items because you just don't know, and I didn't want to reduce the value of the construction contract by the underruns. So now we're getting close to the final month or two of what it's going to take to finish out the project, and there's some obvious items that are going to underrun. So I think it's for the change orders, we're going to have to do some additive change orders and some deductive change orders, and those will be a net wash. If anything, it's going to probably reduce the final construction contract amount. That was what I was talking to you about this morning, right? That the added items that we're in this next change order are going to be adding, we're also going to have some deductive items that are going to reduce that out. The 425 was for the actual budget itself. Yeah.
So what Miss Annette did was she took the amount that was in the previous budget, subtracted what was spent in it, and then just plugged that number in. She didn't check with Andy. There was...
Yeah, my understanding was that the entirety of the contract... Well, let me say, I thought that the entire contract was on the first year, and then the second year was whatever the reduction was, not... of what was left, right? But I think it was the actual full amount that was originally put on it, on the budget, was brought year to year. I guess a misunderstanding on my part, miscommunication between the two of us, but the total budget amount that should have been gone through back in November is what I showed you, or I included on that printout of the overall project cost.
Okay.
And this is one that predates us. So that's where part of the problem is because it predates us, we've just been rolling those numbers forward because this project was approved before we got here. So
in essence, it should come out at a wash?
No.
The construction contract will come at a wash. That the budget that was approved in November will need to be increased by $425,000.
Okay, so
had it gotten done correctly back in November, it would basically be a wash now.
Was that the original number that you thought the contract came in at? I guess that 425 added to what you're doing?
It's conservative.
It's conservative.
It's a little bit higher than I would have said it was back in November of 2024. Okay. Just to make sure all I's are dotted and T's are crossed and we don't have to have this conversation again next month.
So the this is not an Andy question or problem. This is a council question and problem. But when we do this, this was not in the initial budget.
No.
So I had some conversations with, or some back and forth emails with Ms. Annette today, and so this means that we'll have to pull $425,000 out of utility to cover this additional cost. Utility is currently at about a $500,000 deficit, which sounds bad, except for a lot of that is in depreciation, like over $1 million. We're cash positive, $500,000 or something. This will put us close as far as cash positive. I think we still will be. But the other big question, which I have not been able to ask or get answered, is do we need to refigure with this in mind, and this is probably a question for you, do we need to, it's an 80-20 match, if I remember.
Yes. It's 80 federal, 20 local.
Yes. On the sidewalk components.
On the sidewalk component only. So do we need to recalculate how much we're getting in? Because did we use that number in capital outlay to figure our 20%?
Use the construction contract. Oh, you used the amount that was approved by the MPO, right? It's $953,000. And then you had to match 20% of that specific number, regardless of what the actual budget amount was. They had a specific number that they approved, and your sidewalk components were above that amount. So it's...
Our match is over 20% is what it comes out to?
Yes.
But I don't want to put you on the spot on the budget, but are we certain that the amount in the budget from the state, the 900-whatever thousand... that's accurate in the budget? While you think about that, let me tell you why I'm asking. Of this 425, I want to make sure that 20% of this is not ours and 80% is the state's.
No, I think that's your portion.
425 is all ours.
Yes. Convolute this a little bit more, there was a couple of water sector reimbursements that you got as a portion of the water on this project. So that's come and gone. It's been spent. It's not even close to the full water portion of that project. Of the sidewalk, I'm going to say 1.1, 1.2 million was of the sidewalk, and only 953,000 was going to be paid for through that, right? So now I've not run the numbers to see of the deductive change order, how much of that is sidewalk. I think a large portion of it's water, but some of it could be sidewalk, where you reduce that and then maybe that you won't be using the full $953,000 of the sidewalk grant because of the match. I don't think that's the case. I just want
to... Okay, so I'm going to make a substitute motion to table. We have to pass this. I mean, the project's happening. But before, and I realize you've talked about this several times. I know you're not ramming it down our throat. But before we pass this, I want to make sure that the citizens of Carrick are not overpaying their share and that we've gotten every dollar we can squeeze out of the state, and that is properly accounted for in the budget. And I don't have those answers yet.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't think the budget has anything to do with your compensation from the state.
I understand. There was a set dollar amount that they gave us, but I'm not sure if the budget reflected that dollar amount. You're saying it did, and I believe you. But 10,000 people are going to hold me to the fire if I'm wrong on that. So I got to check for myself. Okay. And I did a lot of work on this today, but I'm not quite finished.
Okay.
I'm going to move to table. Substitute motion to table.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye. Okay.
Opposed? Okay, so it's table. We will come back to
this. Next month, I think it'll be fine. I just need a little bit more time to talk to Ms. Annette, probably you, Andy, look at the budget again and make sure that the numbers are right.
Being that it's been tabled, how will it affect the project?
We're not doing anything with the contract. It's just the budget.
It's the budget, exactly.
So we're going to continue to move forward with closing out or finishing construction because the next change order will be additive and deductive. We're not going to be asking you to commit any more city funds to the construction contract.
Right.
And hopefully by next month we'll be ready to issue the notice of acceptance when we approve the budget amendment.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Resolution 2025-25, a resolution to allow the mayor of the City of Carrick to enter into and execute a contract with Neil Schaefer to perform a traffic study.
Ira.
I'm going to make a motion to amend the resolution.
Okay.
I'll second.
The amendment will be under the last whereas to add whereas the project is not to exceed $40,000 without prior approval of the council. I think that's right, because I think it was
38, that
right?
It's 38. Yeah, that's more than
38. Yeah. Right.
So that's my amendment. Add whereas projects not to exceed $40,000 without prior approval of the council.
Sounds good.
I have a question. Did we do a traffic study there already before?
Yes, we did. And it was a thin one. We went over that last week. It was a thin one. And in order to get the light, we need the thick one. And I don't know how to explain it better than that, but it includes something they call GAP, which is growth analysis, something else.
Okay.
But it's the thick one. We have to get the whole thing, the whole ream of paper.
Does that really guarantee us?
Yeah. And it's about, we're about to do a turning lane right there as well, right?
Remember this, and I don't remember what meeting it was, but that, the one that y'all is calling thin, that thin traffic analysis is what warranted this turning lane.
Mm-hmm.
And at that meeting I said, it concerns me that we're paying to have a turning lane if we're going to entertain
a light.
To have a light.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we put the turn, and I'm not saying that I don't think one is necessary or needed, because I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're spending a lot of money to put a turning lane, and I think Andy's, when I asked that question, Andy said it may become obsolete, because if we put a light, then that work there is gonna change. If a turning lane and a light, the road striping, even the layout of the road's gonna be different.
Not necessarily.
No.
No.
They're gonna only work on University. The light will face Ira, but Ira is a city street.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is the money we're gonna spend on this turning lane.
Yes. They're both gonna help. You would still want to have the queues enough to be able to stack the cars that are, it's the whole point of this is to extend the left turn lane, right? But to do that, you have to extend the right turn lane and restripe it so that the left turn lane extends further, right? So you want to be able to have your cars queued so that when the light does turn red, does turn green, you don't have cars having to split at the last minute, right? They'll already be ready in the lanes that they're intending to take, left or right, once the light goes.
When would
I don't think that it's a waste to add the extended turn lane. I guess what I wanted to make sure was clear.
So the thin traffic study said we warranted a turning lane. How long are we going to allow the turning lane to work to see how efficient it is before we pay the money to get another traffic study done?
So this, we met with DOTD, and exactly what they told me in the meeting was, at the same time that we turned in the thin one, was it Abbeville turned in the thick one?
New Iberia,
I'm sorry, I said the wrong city. Turned in the thick one. Their light was approved within a month and a half.
It's for the growth projection.
It's right? A growth projection.
I think the traffic analysis that was done prior was, this is what's happening now. This is your traffic count. Is it warranted or is it not?
But it's before the two subdivisions. It's before all the stuff that's coming.
And the work that D&T Cal did is still going to be put into this new traffic study.
Right.
It's going to be combined.
It's like we did a portion. Now we have to do the growth part of it.
So, yeah, because you'd have to do this anyway.
Yeah, and then the turn lane will be necessary. What if we don't get the traffic light? So we'll still need the turn lane regardless.
Right. Well, yeah.
My other point, too, is that previously, this has been many years back, the city had made a proposal to DOTD that we would pay for the light to try to get them to do it, and they said no. Well, now it sounds like they are willing to pay for the construction. We do have to pay for the traffic analysis. I'll tell you, I'm equally hesitant as you.
Because they put in writing that they're going to pay for the construction?
They're going to put the light and everything.
They put that in writing and gave it? Okay, because I don't know. You know, we might pay for this traffic study. They're saying they're going to pay for construction, and we stuck with paying for construction as well.
The other thing to tell you is that it has to be done during school time.
Yes, it will be.
So our,
we delay a month.
We have to wait
delay
till
it 6 months.
Or September or whatever it is.
So whatever y'all decide, it's today or we decide in 3 months.
We have a motion on the floor.
Well, we have a motion to amend. We got
to 40. So
we have to vote on that, and then we can make another decision. But the first one is: do y'all want to add in not to exceed 40,000?
You got a second.
Okay. So we got a motion and a second on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now it's to decide if you're going to make a motion to approve the entire resolution.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Taylor, how you want to vote?
Nay.
Okay, we have one nay. All right. Thank you. All righty. Next, we have some public hearings. The first one will be final plat showing division of property of residential development located in Section 28, Township 8, South Range 4, East Elwood Crater, 100 block of Clavel Road, Karen Crow.
These findings close a completed review of the final plat reviewed by City Engineer Andy Sellers with Pinstamaker for the above-referenced project. Mr. Sellers reviewed the plat and information provided for compliance with the City of Carrenford Ordinance. As with all development review letters for the City of Carrenford, the purpose of this review is to verify that the plat is in general conformance with the City of Carrenford Ordinances. If deficiencies are identified later, the developer will be responsible for correcting identified deficiencies at no cost to the City of Carrenford. In summary, I recommend approval of the final plat contingent upon the developer satisfying the conditions listed in the City Engineer's review.
Okay.
I'm going to move
under,
to
under Tina and Anna's recommendation, I so move.
I have a second, but I'm having deja vu. I feel like we did this one.
We did an annexation, and now this is the plat review. It's the second part of it.
The last plat review we did was a preliminary plat review because the intent was they would have to do stormwater planning, design plans, separate the lots, and then we would come back generally in a standard residential subdivision and review all of the infrastructure that gets put in. Well, all of that got waived, so now we're doing the formal final plat review.
Okay, so that was the next most important part is what the council struck out in the last one is still struck out.
My letter.
Okay. So I'll second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. And next we have Willowbrook Subdivision Phase 1 Development Review Final Acceptance Review Number 1.
Please find enclosed. City Engineer Andy Sellers with Pinstamaker final plat, as-built, construction, testing, and certification for the above reference project, including comments. Pinstamaker recommends that the city grant final plat approval of this residential development contingent on the items listed in the review summaries. As with all development review letters for the City of Carrenford, the purpose of this review is to verify that the plat is in general conformance with the City of Carrenford ordinances. If deficiencies are identified later, the developer will be responsible for correcting identified deficiencies at no cost to the City of Carrenford. In summary, I recommend approval of the final plat review number 1 for Willowbrook Subdivision contingent upon the developer satisfying the conditions listed in the City Engineer's review.
I know Mr. Burrow has some comments, but I would initially start. I'll move to accept.
I second.
Based off of the recommendations of Pinstamaker and planning.
I second.
We have a motion and a second.
And I do have a question. And it's
you want to come up?
It's for Andy.
Andy.
Can you come see? I have to show you something. See how this starts at Taylor Point Design. Start at 19. Okay. Was there more to your or that's just list?
Yeah, our packet starts with number 19.
Was there more to your review that we didn't get?
Before 19, yeah.
Okay, can we see that?
Yeah, because it does start in the middle of a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
we just don't have it. Can we have it?
Yeah.
We'll review it real quick.
Andy, while you're up there.
No, it's not in his paper either.
You and I spoke about this one as well today. I think I cost the city a lot of money in my phone calls to you today. So there were two concerns from the developer, and I'm not a developer. So if I butcher something, just you tell me where I go. And Mr. Brogan can come up if he wants after this. But so the first one was a pipe that will belong to the HOA is not going to be deeded to the city. It will not be in the dedication.
I don't know that to be true. So looking back, that equalizer pipe makes both ponds into a single pond.
I was talking about the other one, but we can do the equalizer first.
Okay. Well, no, go back to the one that you were saying is not going to be accepted or owned or maintained or responsible for at all by the city.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay, I was kind of setting you up.
So my understanding was the developer's point was that it's not something that's going to be ours to maintain, and so I think the question is whether or not they need a camera of that one.
Okay, so generally we've inspected and saw post-construction videos of all pipes in the drainage system. They're saying that this is explicitly put in a private drainage servitude to be maintained by the HOA.
Yes.
It's not city infrastructure. The city's not going to be responsible for it. I'm sympathetic with that argument. I mean, it's theirs to inspect as they will. It's not in the city's, I guess, purview to tell them how that pipe should or should not be inspected. With the caveat, in my opinion, is it was approved as a drainage system, right? So those were put in for a reason to make sure that the runoff doesn't drain onto the adjacent property. Assuming there's a basketball in one of them and it's going to drain onto the neighbor's property. That's just what I would like to see is just verification that it's in working condition. But again, it's a private drainage system on private property. Can you make them provide a video? That's a question that I'm sure we're going to find out tonight.
Well, I think, you know, and look, that the argument was not, if you make me do this, I'm calling a lawyer. That's never by any means argued or said. But the other thing that I think actually you mentioned to me today was that it's still certified by their engineer and their site people.
Well, the entire subdivision, there's a certification that they say that the engineer of record signs and says that the construction of this subdivision was built in accordance to the approved plans and specifications. I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically that statement. So I think by him stating that, he is saying that his inspector was there because right, they're required to provide a construction inspector. And so they're saying that our guys saw it, everything's good, we're recommending it be accepted because we believe it was installed per the plans.
Which maybe our inspector was there as well. He was. And I'm going to go to the other one in a minute, which is the one I'm certain about.
Yeah.
But that one, I believe, Kevin was there and inspected as well. So let me go to the equalizer. My understanding is our inspector, I guess for the council, I'm not an engineer, you can, again, correct me, it's a pipe that connects two ponds to ensure that the level is appropriate in each of the two ponds.
It's basically used as a single pond for storage. It's just that we couldn't build, or they couldn't build a pond the size that was needed as a contiguous pond because of the pipeline, as a gas transmission pipeline, a couple of them, I think, that run through the property, and they had to put a equalizer pipe underneath those pipelines in order to let the water move back and forth between the two ponds to get the full storage of.
And my understanding, and Kevin's not here, and we can check with Kevin, we can make a contingent upon Kevin's whatever, but my understanding was Kevin, the city engineer, was there, did inspect it. There are pictures of it. The problem I think the developer has on this one is that now the pond is full. So to him to run a camera, he's got to drain that pipe, pump that pipe completely, that pond, both ponds, completely down to run it through a 20-foot section of pipe.
Now he does, right? Not now that it's back full of water, but I guess in a perfect world it would have been videoed before it was filled back up with water.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion. I don't have the numbers, and I don't have all of them because mine starts at 19 as well.
Okay, hold on before you make a motion. This starts at 19, too, so it might just be a typo, but I need you to confirm.
Does it start with 1 and then goes back to 19?
It's your letter starts at 19.
Everything from 1 through 18 cannot go.
Oh, yeah, come on, Sharon, you good.
See, but the sewer's number
18 is all plat stuff. It's already been fixed on the plat for ended review.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. So, and you can vote no or do whatever you want, Danielle, but my motion is going to be that I don't think we can legally make him camera the line that's on private property. I'll let them finish. It's okay, I'll let y'all finish while y'all.
I would accept it
contingent upon these things. I'm not prepared right now to say that.
No, when she copied it, it didn't.
Okay.
This is them right here.
All right, sorry, Jordan.
So, my motion is going to be that I don't think we can require the developer to video a line that's on private property that's not going to be deeded to the city.
So the HOA line does not have to be video.
Just like the city can't tell me that I need to do my water line in my house or my sewer line on my property. It's my line. I own that line. The developer is going to own that line. It will not be a city line. I don't think we can make it.
If there's a problem with it, then the HOA has to deal with it.
That's correct.
It's theirs, it's not ours.
And there is an engineer of record for that project who is certifying that it is appropriate. So that's the first one. The second one is going to be contingent upon Kevin verifying that he was.
Kevin that was inspecting there? It was Kevin.
Okay. And my understanding is that he was there and did inspect this, which is the equalizer line, right. So contingent upon Kevin verifying, yes, he was there. He did, in fact, inspect it. Then I think it's inspected. It's done. So we are inspecting that one, but it's already been done. Those are the two problems that I understood from the developer. My motion will be that contingent upon Kevin, there's no further video requirement of the equalizer, and to remove the requirement for
private rear lot drainage.
Private rear lot drainage.
And contingent
upon all the other ones, which my understanding are basically all done. But yes, contingent upon all the other requirements.
I'll second that motion.
A motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. All right, this is two public hearings.
So, Tina, are you going to check with Kevin?
Yeah.
Or the mayor, whoever. Somebody just needs to make sure that Kevin.
Check on that. We'll check.
My understanding is Kevin was there. There's actually.
We have an email with his pictures he submitted to our engineer.
Perfect.
Okay.
It's done.
All right, discussion Assumption Church mural.
That's
you. Alfred. Okay. Yep.
I've been in touch with Bradley Phillips, the artist that done the Karen Crow
the outline.
Mm-hmm. Outline, yeah. He's tied up, so by the time we pass the resolution, probably in the next month, he'll be available. And the plan is right now to put it on the west side of the Karen Crow, Keep Karen Crow Beautiful mural on the I-49 South. And that's the plan right now. I'll give it Brad, and then he'll come and look at it and see where we go from there.
Okay.
And we don't anticipate any cost to the city of Karen Crow.
Okay. So just so you know, for the others, the city did send somebody out there to pressure wash it, and we did send somebody out there to do that. So we can definitely offer that again.
Okay.
And I think the fire department did something to help, too.
The fire department washed.
They washed it. I know they washed it.
Heavy wash to get the heavy stuff off, the pressure wash.
Right, and then the pressure wash, yes. So the fire department did something, and then Public Works went out there. So we can offer that again if that's amenable to the fire chief, I think.
Okay, I'll get with you, chief.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So,
you want to say?
I think we should go ahead and you want to come up, ma'am? You're good? Okay, so, you know what, can we just go ahead and, are y'all comfortable with approving it tonight?
Yeah.
Are y'all comfortable? I mean, it was on the agenda,
yeah.
And I don't see anybody having any issues with it. I think it's great.
Okay.
Are you good with that? Okay, so
need a motion.
You make the motion.
I make a motion to approve the mural under I-49 overpass.
Okay. Got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. So now you don't have to come back. It's all right. You get with Chief and with Seth, and we'll be ready for that. Okay, public comment. We're getting into grass cutting season. And so if you see something, we ask you to please call and let us know if you see something that needs to be addressed. That is seems to be kind of, this is the time of the year where it all starts up again, but please call City Hall. Miss Alicia is real good about putting all that in the system, and we get them documented. You can call me and you can text me, but it makes the whole system take longer, but I do eventually get them, all the notifications to the right people. I have probably a group of about 15 to 20 people who, when they're in town, they find things wrong, and we get texts and stuff like that, and it's really helpful. So I appreciate that, and
please continue. And if you want to join the club, you are welcome. Do we have anyone here who has something they want to? Yes, ma'am. Miss Phyllis? We're going to change the tape. Give me a second, Miss Phyllis. Hold on. You get a fresh tape. You fresh.
My order is ready to be picked up, and then you'll say I need to get it delivered to the door. I said I know, but I don't want to pay for the subscription. Mac already be like, you gonna get pick up your groceries? Yeah, you gonna go shopping and get them?
We're ready.
Ready?
Oh. I just wanted to remind everyone that I'm working on a special project. The deadline for the real ID is May the 7th. And I run through a few trial runs, and it didn't work. Because my grandmother named all her children Mary, and all her sons, all the girls Mary, and all the sons Joseph. But they go by the middle name. That doesn't match the driver's license. So they're being turned away. You know, so my question is, one thing they accept is a bill. A utility bill.
Yes, ma'am.
Would that be a problem if they would change the name on their utility bill?
We can do that. Definitely.
If the address is the same?
Yes, definitely.
Because that would be easy for the people that are not computer literate. You know, they can change their voter registration name, but it's electronic.
Right. So it's like easy if they go to, they can get their water bill changed here. Yeah, easily. The ladies can take care of it over there. I'll make sure that I call Maureen to let her know that that's going to be going on. Name on bill.
It's a mess. Mm-hmm. You never need to drop your mail.
I get my mail at a post office box. So for me to do it was a mess because I get no mail at my house. So thankfully my Slimco bill and my CareCrow bill does give the location, and so I could use those too. But then I had to get it for my children, and we had to do notarized statements. It was a mess.
So I'm looking for the easiest route, and that was my question.
Ms. Phyllis, thank you, because I can speak from experience. I tried to go and get my real ID, and if you have one initial that is different from a passport to your driver's license, they will not give it to you.
Reject you.
So you need to bring your, if you do have a passport, bring it, your birth certificate, your first and second born. So.
Yeah. Your immunization records, bring everything you can think of.
Whatever.
A whole new birth certificate, because the first name that she used isn't on her birth certificate.
Oh, wow.
It's a mess.
And we don't want to disenfranchise anybody from voting.
No. And I mean, you're going to, but it's not just, people keep saying, well, if you don't fly, you don't need it, but you won't be able to get into federal buildings, and eventually it'll be state buildings. And I mean, they may actually have a rule one day you can't come to City Hall, you know, I mean, or to vote or to do all this other kind of stuff. It's a mess.
Project I'm working on with the senator. So I'm going to use some test clients. Go to CareCrow.
Okay. Then I'm going to call Miss Maureen.
Bills. Mm-hmm. Make it match the name on your driver's license.
Right.
A lot of people are not going to catch it if they're they'll only catch it if their driver's license.
Well, actually.
For renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it should match your birth certificate because that's.
It can't.
No, but that's what they're looking at.
Oh, but
your birth certificate. Yeah, and that's what they
But for women, it's hard because
I was born in Angel. I married and I took my husband's last name.
Right.
It's not going to match.
But for the real ID, that's what, because you see, my wife had to go to the Register of Voters office.
To change her name? Yeah,
well, no, to get the application that she used because it has your mother's maiden name.
Oh, it's the mother's maiden name they're looking at?
Mother's maiden name and vital statistics. That's what Dale asked you, what's your mother's maiden name?
I've heard a few people say, I just won't vote. We don't want that. No. We don't want that. No. We have to work on all this. But if there's something else you can think of the city can do to help, we want to do it.
If I find a streamlined way, I'll share it with Britt.
Please.
And the
please.
Faith community.
Well, and if you could also share with Brett, we can go through and put some stuff on the city's website, on our socials, about what goes on with Real ID. So if you want to share that with them, we can do that, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Miss Elsie? You got to come up here, and I need you to say your name and your address. Yes, y'all can both come. Yes, ma'am.
Just both say your names.
Okay. My name is Elsie Arsenal.
I'm Eva Bernard. Eva Bernard Alexander.
Okay.
I have a problem. I had it on my phone, but I kind of messed it up. So.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Good thing that's my neighbor. Where is it, Elsie?
You just had it.
I had it. I know. I dropped my phone.
But anyway, tell her what your problem is.
My problem is I live on 307 North Michaud Street.
Same as I.
I have a problem because right across the street from me is the Landry's. They have this big old pipe.
That's shooting water.
It gushes off of their property under my carport. So I did video it. I did speak to you about it. But then I lost it on the phone.
No, you didn't. I got it.
You got it?
Wait, Eva.
I'm so proud of your neighbor.
So it's only when it's raining?
When it rains a lot.
I sent Brian to go look at it, but I don't know what happened.
When it rains a lot?
Charlotte, Mayor?
No, it's Charlotte. It's good.
You should see, they have to get sandbags.
Sandbags to put.
And you always say, if you see something, say
something. Say something, that's not.
So when it rains, all the water goes in her living room. She has to put
sandbags. Andy, I'm putting this one on your list, and you're going over there and look at it. Okay. Andy works for, that's Andy, the one we've been fussing at all night long.
Yeah.
Miss Elsie, can you text that video to me when you find it?
I'm trying to find it.
I did send it to you at one time.
I'm trying to. Oh, there. I think I got it.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, be quiet.
Where is it?
I think she erased it. You
know? No, I didn't.
That's it, right?
Look, come down. Go up. What's right here? Come down. Is that it?
And I started to take a picture, just the picture of the pipe.
Yep, I got it right here.
You got it?
Yep.
Good job. I knew I sent it. That's it.
And she has to put sandbags.
The water coming out from over there.
Oh. Is that a pipe? What is that?
That's a
pipe. I don't know.
I sent Brian to go look at it. Okay, so I'm going to send it to you, Andy.
She got it.
Mm-hmm. She got it.
Oh, but I don't know how I'm going to forward it.
I'm trying to find it so I can save it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, here. Forward that to Andy. He's in my phone.
She got it.
It was on my phone. I gave it to Brian. I sent Brian, but Andy's going to have to go look at it.
And another thing. I wanted to ask.
And I don't know if that's a pipe, but it looks like there's just water coming out.
It's a big old. Water.
It's a big pipe?
Drainage pipe.
But another thing, all the pipes are being changed. And we didn't have none of our pipes changed.
We're starting at the source, which is right here downtown. And then we're moving towards you. As we get more money, we are applying for more money to do it, but eventually we will get to everybody. But we have to start at the source and then go out from there.
Okay. on another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Our lights. We didn't have any Christmas lights.
We will have Christmas lights this year. You will have some good ones.
And you know what I wanted to ask, too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right here in front of St. Peter, in front of the courthouse, all right here, mm-hmm. we all have beautiful lamps. Why we don't have any?
Hmm.
By our church.
I don't know. We should have some. I would like that.
Yeah, I think so.
St. Peter's paid for theirs.
Oh, St. Peter's paid for theirs. That's why they got them.
Well, then, who... Chief, you're on the city council. Why y'all not paying that? I mean,
you're on the parish council. Did you get to
see that? I wanted to say the Knights. Why the Knights is not paying for that?
Okay.
That's going to take a whole lot of pool boy sales.
There it is. I got it. Uh-huh.
Well, let's start selling pool boys then. Yeah. I'm going to help y'all sell.
Andy, I'm texting to you the video.
Okay.
Andy, okay, I know Andy.
I think that was it. That's what I want. But please, our lamps, put that on the agenda, please.
I'll put that on there. I put lamps, but the church, they said the church paid for them.
Talking about
y'all sure does the church pay for that?
Lights.
Okay, thank y'all.
Uh-huh.
So there are some receptacles that are mm-hmm. still connected to the wires.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if they're working, so we may...
We're working through all of those. We're working through all of those. Yeah, the Christmas lights.
Brian and the guy that set them went, and we got them all marked, every one that got to be repaired and added. And so we're going to have those up.
Did they check the receptacles?
Yeah.
That's what
checking
they
said. All up. You see some got some...
They got the, yeah.
Some flags.
Got the strap.
Some got it.
Yeah, because what's happening is they went around and checked them, so they should be repairing those and we get some, as the mayor said.
We ordered some more Christmas lights. Yes. So what it is we had some. Some have gotten damaged and messed up over the years. But so we ordered some that were the new LED ones, but they kind of went with what we had. So we can continue to use the old ones and add in these. And so I think it'll be nice. I think it'd be nice. Okay. Anybody else has anything else? Well, thank y'all all so much for being here, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
And a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank y'all very much.
Going to pick up your groceries.